Turn on the button. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Town Council, Curry Beach, on June 18th? 19th, on June 19th. We're calling this meeting to order, and we'll have the invocation and Pledge of Allegiance from Reverend Tommy Williams, please.
Getting more people coming here, you got to build a new building.
It's a good idea.
I'm like a winner, man. That's right. Let's pray. The Lord give you thanks tonight for all of those who are here, who are gathered here this afternoon. I thank you for the many blessings that you give to us that we don't deserve. I thank you for life itself and friendship. I thank you for the ability to be involved in the works of this lovely little town we call Curry Beach. And I also thank you for the honor of being responsible for a certain part of things that happen. Things that you give us here tonight in particular. I thank you, Lord, as well for the freedom that we have in this country that some other people don't have. And they can only dream about it. Thank you for life itself and the things you give us through it. And Lord, I pray tonight for our city council, our mayor, all the council members, all the people that are here tonight to make this town that we call Curry Beach a better place. Of course, I don't know how that can really happen, but it's the most wonderful place I've ever lived in. Lord, I ask that you give council members wisdom to govern, an ear to listen, and personal peace in their decisions. I pray that whatever's brought before them tonight, that you give them assurance, give us assurance that it will be what you want. And above all, Lord, I ask for patience in all things that happened here tonight. We come here tonight to solve issues that occur in the town of Curry Beach that we love. And Lord, I pray tonight, and I thank you for another reason we're here tonight, Lord. We're here to honor a good friend of mine, Sonny Vickrell. I've known him for a long time, ever since high school. Worked together with him here in the town of Curry Beach. He's going to be a loss, but Sonny, it's time to get to that thing you do called retirement, which has something to do with the golf course. Lord, we just thank you for Sonny and all that he has done. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for the pledge of allegiance to the flag. Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor. Okay, first order of business, approval of the consent agenda. Do we have any changes or additions, deletions to the consent agenda?
Yes, so I'd like to add a number 7, approval to close Atlantic Avenue between M&M Avenue temporarily for concrete pour on 6-18-2018. Council was polled and approved yesterday.
Okay.
For the building inspector.
All right. Any other changes? Do I have a motion to accept?
Motion to accept the agenda.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Consent agenda stands approved. Now the adoption of the agenda. Sorry?
You just added to the consent agenda, now you need to adopt the consent agenda.
Okay.
Make a motion to adopt the consent agenda.
Make a motion to adopt the new consent agenda. All right. So do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you, Nancy. Keep us straight. Adoption of the agenda. Any changes
Like to
the listed agenda items.
Yes, I'd like to remove number 6 under old business. There's no update about the emergency operation plan. We adopted the hurricane portion and we're fine. We'll continue to work on what the department is.
Okay. Removing 6.
Yes,
any
sir.
Discussion? Okay. Any other changes?
Make a motion to adopt the amended agenda.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The agenda has been reset. And now, for the enjoyable part of the day, we're going to adjourn for 30 minutes to a reception in our annex next door to honor our retiring Public Works Director, Sonny Beaker. So let's all take our half hour and go over there and have at this man.
Yeah, so we're going to do speeches over there, Sonny.
Yes.
Yeah. We're not letting it off that easy.
They'll be recorded over there.
That's right, exactly right. So I make a motion we adjourn for 30 minutes.
Adjourn.
Recess for 30 minutes. Recess, sorry, for 30 minutes.
Okay, we have a motion recess. Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Cool.
Discussion and consideration of persons to address council. Mr. Galbraith, please. Yes, sir.
I'm Craig Galbraith, living at 803 Polk Court. I want to address the council on an incident, or actually continuing incidents, that my young daughter plus her friends have been having in the downtown area. Last week, she's 12 years old. She took her girlfriends down there. And they've been sexually harassed by folks driving by, kind of cruising, boys driving by, yelling at them, doing sexual innuendos and stuff like that. For a 12-year-old girl, those are pretty frightening sort of things. This is the third time it's happened now in a month, to the point where she's now even nervous about going down there, and it's just not, I don't think, appropriate for Kiri Beach. What I've told her is that, search out a police officer, and she said there were none available down there that they could find. This is at the peak hours on Friday and Saturday night and stuff like that. So just want to address the council saying that evidently there's maybe a cruising attitude by some folks that they think they can drive by downtown and Kiri Beach, and it may be happening in Carolina Beach too, I don't know, and harassing these young girls. And they were scared when they came back. And again, this is the third time this has happened, say in the last month.
Okay. We did cover that with the chief. He has made some adjustments to the schedule, and they're going to be quite attentive to that particular behavior. But thank you for sharing that. Anybody else wish to address council? Okay. Discussion and consideration of presentations to council. Do you have any presentations, Nancy? Discussion and consideration of committee business. Community center? Linda?
Just a reminder that August the 18th is our big community barbecue. And we still would love to have some volunteers, and because we feed 350 people, so we need people. So if you're interested or know somebody that is, I'm going to have them call Nikki at the rec office. And the other thing, and I don't know the procedure for this, but Frances, and this is way before my time, Frances Regan, I'm sure if you've been here, she, as I understand it, was instrumental in us even having a community center and worked very hard to make it possible, and she passed away recently. And our committee would like to know what the process might be that we could name the community center after Ms. Frances, like the Frances Regan Community Center. We do have money in our budget. If it's just a matter of the sign being changed, we would have money there to cover it, but we did not know the process, so I'm just throwing that out.
We do have a naming process. It's actually, I have just reviewed it for a variety of reasons, and I'll make sure you
Okay, thank you.
Have a copy of that.
Thank you.
Okay, marketing committee, not here. Planning and zoning. Any inputs?
We'll talk later.
Later on in the agenda. Non-town committee reports, we have none this week. This Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee.
I would just like to say that all the beach access signs are up, and no dogs on the beach signs are up at Alabama and down at Ocean Dunes.
Okay. I think we've just about covered all the beach signs right now.
Don't think there's anything else we could put
yes,
on the beach.
Right. So I guess we got that all done. Discussion and consideration of department head business, administration and recreation. Nancy?
No items.
No items. Finance department, Arlen.
I may have a couple.
Okay.
So first thing was to talk about the ordinance chapter 7, section 67 about special trash pickups. The way it's currently worded implies that you have to schedule a time with Public Works to actually pick it up. The practice for I don't know how many years has been that if it's the items are placed in the right-of-way, that Public Works will pick them up, whether there's been an appointment scheduled or not. That's been called into question recently, I guess, that people have put things out and are refusing to pay for it because they said they did not call. Even though they, again, it was admitted that they put things in the right of way. So I'm just proposing that we change the wording, that even if an item is placed in the right of way without a call, it will be picked up and then subsequently billed on the next month's water and sewer bill.
Any discussion?
No, I fully support the change.
Yeah, that's...
I think that's a good idea. People are trying to sidestep that using the verbiage, and that just shouldn't stand for the people who are honoring the rule.
Yeah, well, so we should have given them a litter and ticket if they admitted they put it in there, but that's fine. Do we need a motion to make a motion we adopt the proposed change from the finance officer?
Yep. So, second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. I shall sign that motion.
Okay. The next item a couple items I want to cover has to do with some policy and procedure changes. There's only two things driving it. The first thing is a state requirement, and it has to do with now allowing or actually changing the requirements for allowing electronic payments. Electronic payments are credit cards, so using a town credit card, gas card. We do make some payments to vendors by electronic funds transfer. So this is a change in the administrative, North Carolina Administrative Code. So this is just changing our procedures to actually comply with those requirements. There's a couple of steps. One is, this is actually resolution 1804. So council would need to approve the resolution that says that the town is allowed to do or is permitted to engage in electronic payments. And then also giving me the authority to write the procedures to comply with the administrative code. So that would be the first step. The second step is what already rewritten the procedures. And I've included those in your agenda packet, and it really just explains what we do and how we comply with those procedures and the controls we have in place to make sure that electronic payments are handled in the correct manner.
Does it change much of a big impact to the department heads?
There was a proposal made back in 2016. We really adopted that at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So we've really been following what was suggested, which now has really become the incorporated into this administrative code. So we've really been doing it already.
Okay.
So this really just clarifies our procedure to what we're doing. So in that regard, there's no change to the way we operate.
Yeah. Make a motion we approve resolution 1804, authorizing the town to engage in electronic payments, and we amend the town's purchasing policy and procedures as proposed by the finance officer.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. All in 1804, I'll sign.
Okay. The second part is change in actually some federal requirements. These will, for us, will become effective. Yeah, these are actually some federal guideline changes relate to any time we would use federal funds, whether that's whether we have a loan from a federal agency, which is rare that we have done that in the past. But the more upfront thing that we do is funds we would get from FEMA in regard to a natural disaster. These are new procurement requirements, very much more restrictive than what they've been in the past. So what I'm proposing, I've made a couple adjustments to our existing purchasing policy in addition to put together a policy specific to when we use federal funds that lists out all the different requirements, the reasons why we have to do it, the different bidding thresholds. That's the big change. You must start to bid expenditures at a much lower level than we had to in the past. And you must also now bid services before more purchases and construction type projects. So it would need council's approval to adopt this policy. Again, something we should really need to have in place before July 1st. There's a second part to this also, which is a conflict of interest policy that's also required by these new procurement requirements. So that's the other item I had in your agenda packet, was the conflict of interest policy that relates to what's called the uniform guidance procurement requirements.
So this is a process that changes when we bid, at what levels we bid, and who we may bid.
Right, and that's just part of it, yes. I mean, there's other things about making sure that you're only spending money, which again, we always do, but for the right things at the right amounts, changing how you can scope out a project. If a contractor, if you have to bring somebody in to scope out a project, they can, at that point they cannot bid on the project. So there's some other specifications within the
This is with federal funds on the
plan. Only federal funds, and that's why the way I've written it is that these new rules come in, or our new policy only comes into effect when we're actually using federal funds. Again, for us, it's primarily going to be during a disaster.
So, to me, this looks like a pretty significant change as I went through all these pages.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
Yes. And it's been pretty clear that if you don't follow these requirements, there's a good chance you're not going to receive funding.
Okay. Therefore, I think that I would like to ask that we have potentially an hour meeting with each department head or together, in some type of training, and make sure they understand what their new requirements are as they manage their budgets. I know you'll do that, but...
Sure. Yeah, okay. Because it's not just in the finance area. This is definitely spreads out to all departments, and everyone's got to be aware of the requirements and make sure we comply.
Well, and so Arl and I have already talked about this, but the changes is significant enough that we need to pre-write scopes for some of our emergency services, so that we can bid them fast enough to restore the town as expected by the citizens. So we've already talked about getting with Public Works and Building Inspections and Fire to write the scopes now and approve them for what we've done for a Fran.
Okay.
So that they're already there, which will allow Arlen to meet the requirements. The big issue for our citizens is if we don't adopt and follow a policy similar to this, I mean, you could look at it and change some words, but if you don't have this policy, we have a disaster, we spend Curie Beach money and then we apply to FEMA for reimbursement, and they're going to say no if you don't do it the way they want you to do it. So that's why he's doing this, and I commend him for being ahead of it, because there's going to be some town that gets hit by a hurricane later this year potentially, and they're going to be surprised when FEMA says, sorry, you're unreimbursable because you didn't do this.
And the reason we need to have this document, that's their first step, is they'll ask for it. We want to see your documented procedures.
That's right. So I make a motion we approve this as presented and as directed by the mayor, conduct training with the department heads. More to follow on scopes to be presented to council for pre-approval.
Second.
OK. Okay, a motion and a second. Any other conversation, discussion? In that case, we'll move to vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, unanimous. I'll sign it.
Nice job, Arlen.
Thank you, Arlen. Complex.
Yes.
Okay, fire department.
Sir,
nothing. Chief Kennedy, thank you. Building department.
Yes, sir. I have one item. I have a nuisance lot located at 409 F Avenue. I've notified the property on, sent notification on May 14th. It was returned undeliverable on June 6th. And according to our town attorney, we can consider that served. According to our ordinance, town council has to approve the expenditure to have this property mowed and kept up the remainder of this year. So I'm seeking council approval to mow this property and weed eat this property once a month until the end of the growing season. And then starting January 1st, I'll be starting the process all over again. This is a lot that we've had constant issues with over the years, and I'd like to not have issues with it any longer.
Okay. Attorney, our mediation is a lien on the property, or?
No, now what he's going to do is just write him a letter and say on such and such a date we're going to cut grass or cut whatever it is that's going to cut down, and the expenses thereof will be a lien on your property.
Okay. Okay. Any, I guess all we need here is consensus.
No, it's a motion.
Right? We do need a motion?
Yes,
yeah. Make okay. A motion we approve the building inspector to address the concerned property.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Thanks,
you got it, John. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Police department. Okay, Chief Bowden. Public Works Department.
Yes, sir.
I guess we had plenty of that already. discussion and consideration of old business. Adoption of full year 18-19 proposed budget ordinance and fee schedule with changes to property liability and workers' comp insurance premiums. And recycling increases from the vendor. Arlen?
Okay, so what are we got? I thought I would show is the budget that was presented at the last council meeting where we did the official presentation of the budget. So that's the column to the left, the 5:15 meeting. And then the revisions that have occurred since then. It's really the two things that the mayor mentioned. Increase in our property and liability and workers' comp insurance, and we got the final quotes just in the last couple weeks. And then also the bigger change is in the recycle service. So I'll just show by the two funds that change what that means. On the expenditure side, it's increasing again the line item for insurance by $8,000, and this is just for the general fund at this point. The larger increase is for recycle service. The proposal that we just received, which we've been waiting for, is an actually about a 52% increase in the rate. A lot more than we originally anticipated when we were developing the budget. So as of the last council meeting, the proposal was to increase the recycle fee that's charged to homeowners by 13 cents, so from $4.88 to $5.01 per month. Based on the new information, it's actually increasing it by $2.52 to $7.40 per month per card. And that is just to cover the costs. I mean, there's no additional amount built in. That is now the contract price.
The background driving this up is this is recycling, and this is... Who's our supplier in this?
This is Waste Management, and the information that we obtained from them was that because China is no longer accepting certain types of recyclable materials that's driving up the price for all vendors, I guess, and that's what we're seeing right here. So a significant increase. The other part that's a little bit open-ended is that they could increase or change their price on a monthly basis if they start seeing larger expenses on their end. So the $740 is a month is as we stand here right now. Hopefully it stays at that, but there's no guarantee.
Okay, so we sit here at this point knowing that change is upon us and it's going to happen to most communities, I assume. Unless they have an ironclad contract but our contract's up.
Right, correct.
And we know this before budget approval, so we need to deal with this.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm showing since it's a requirement to have a balanced budget, so if the expenses go up by $73,500, so that's why you see the, based on that increase in the per month fee that I mentioned, that brings in another approximately $63,680. And then what I've also proposed here is a slight amount to use from our fund balance, so basically like our savings in essence, to balance the budget.
Which is a practice we
rarely do, but this is a very small amount, and the likelihood that we actually even use any amount from our savings is very, very unlikely.
So we normally run about 95% of budget.
93.
I hate to use another fund balance, but in this case, let's have comments from the council.
I think we've informed the public of the tax rate, so I think this is the right thing to do. I would ask that since we are now faced with potentially this escalating, we should ask for two alternatives, right? I know that now the budget season's over, you have nothing to do, which is, I'm kidding, I know you have plenty to do. But one is, what would a competitor be interested in bidding, right? There's another competitor, so that's one. And this doesn't happen in the next few months, but if we think it's gonna keep going up, we should keep them honest. And then two is, what if we have a centralized location and cut to only every other week instead of every week, what that does, what's the impact to the citizens. My concern is if we cut out recycling, it's going to drive the trash out of the business because people are going to get rid of it somewhere. And I think recycling is the right thing to do, but we should at least look at alternatives, especially if we think it might start escalating more, I think. I'm fine with the budget process, but I think we should see some alternatives.
We should have Public Works look at what other mediation there might be, maybe oceanfront boxes. I think you looked at that, Alan.
Yeah, we've talked about possibilities of not picking up recycling on the oceanfront boxes. A lot of it gets contaminated. They can't use it for recycling. We've got to, that would help us on some of these expenses because that's very expensive for them to stop and take it out of the boxes and dump it.
Those cans are not at a rate of $740.
Yeah, they're much more. So
that would
this
help
is
us.
Just for the citizens.
Yeah.
This is for the individual, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, one, I don't propose changing it because I know mine's pretty full, but I know some people aren't. But I think that we should at least look at the options because, you know, that's almost doubling it. Not really, I guess.
Yeah, I guess
20% or something,
yeah.
Something like that.
I think David's on a point. There are many communities that pick up every 2 weeks. We should take a look at that.
Well, I would just see that being a problem for 4 months out of the year, the recycling every 2 weeks. Carolina Beach tried it. Overflowing recycling bins.
People didn't just use their trash cans?
Yes. It was more environmentally conscious to throw all your recycling
and
put it in the trash can.
Well, I'm not proposing we change, but we should at least look at the numbers.
I think the way I'd
look at it is, okay, if we went to biweekly and like we had before up by the park somewhere had a centralized location for those people that drink so much beer that they need it every week like me, or whatever.
We could go to a larger can too. I mean, that'd be an expense. But going to a can the size of our trash cans.
They're not that much different, are they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like 5 gallons or something?
Bigger. No.
Fine. Yeah.
It's 98
gallons.
But everybody
should
be 65.
Oh, wow. Is that,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't look at those again.
I mean, we got that expense.
Well, good. I feel better about myself. Actually.
Yeah. But
anyway, to move on to the budget, I'm all in favor of what the finance officer proposed. I just want us to look for options if it continues to escalate.
Yeah, I think specifically we should identify options. You had a bid challenge.
Yeah.
We had a Jimmy. Maybe we can think of something central location. I know Joe Eats Park or something for overflow. Of course, people will contaminate that.
Yeah, right. That's the issue. Right.
Yeah.
Yes, Nancy. We went to curbside right. recycling. It became a dump.
Right.
Literally
it became a dump.
In it, having to sort it out.
Well, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that because this kind of is going
to
stay
pretty clean. We don't have to.
That's right.
Figure it all out tonight, but yes. We do need to meet.
I think we should consider alternatives in case it keeps escalating.
That's one thing Nancy and I have talked about. You know, monitor how this develops a little bit. And,
yeah, exactly right.
And looking at maybe other alternatives.
I just can't sign up if they've already warned us. Hey, we could do it every month. Okay, then we got to have an answer for that. Because if it became $30 a month, I think that'd be a problem for a lot of our citizens, including me.
Right.
So.
Okay. Any other comments here? You all in, I guess we need a motion to.
Well, the other fund that changed, is the water and sewer fund. And that was really just for the property and casualty and workers' comp insurance. It increased by $8,000 in each fund. Here, there was a revenue increase of $6,000, looking at water and sewer taps and projected building activity for the upcoming fiscal year, so we felt comfortable with a small increase there. The other part of it was a slight reduction in one of the expenses for public works, water and sewer operations, which was a kind of like a reserve we had for potential projects. It was about 40-some thousand, so this takes $2,000 from that amount. So. This balances the water and sewer fund, just a $6,000 overall increase.
Okay. Any other comments?
So then that's where we would end up at the far right with these changes. Everything else in the budget is exactly as we have talked about, that I presented at the May meeting.
And the public hearing.
Right. Yeah. And the public hearing.
Okay. All right. So. I guess we need a motion to adopt this
Make a
revised
motion to
budget.
Adopt the budget amended as presented by the finance officer.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. You got it, Arlen.
Nice
and
job.
We'll work on. We need to work on remediation here. How can we do a little better? Revised proposed amendments to Chapter 10, Traffic of the Code of Ordinances on Parking.
Kind of bifurcate the discussion into we have chapter 10 and we have chapter 19, so I'll talk about chapter 10 first. This is the second time we've talked about this at the Planning and Zoning Commission. The first time was more casual. Our special meeting last night was specifically to develop a formal recommendation proposal regarding the proposed changes to chapter 10. After a good discussion, and it was a good long discussion, the recommendation and the vote of the Planning and Zoning Commission is to recommend approval as presented for Chapter 10. With two caveats, and these are not part of the recommendations specifically with the language, but one is that we had a long discussion of things like the terms property lines, setbacks, right of way, and that sort of thing. And so given that we were confused and we talk about this all the time. It's our recommendation that if this is passed, that there be a strong effort to communicate to the town of Kira Beach population, probably with visuals and pictures rather than simply language, so everybody knows exactly what the new rules will be, or actually it's more the old rules and the enforcement of the old rules regarding parking. The other recommendation is that there be a mechanism put in place where, since this is a ordinance that is going to affect everybody in Kiri Beach, and there are some probably residential streets that could allow right-of-way parking, say on-the-street type parking, but still have plenty of room for safety and fire, that there be a mechanism that people who do live on that street could petition, or maybe a homeowner could petition to be able to park in front of their house, or there'd be some mechanism so we're not creating a problem where people can't park in front of their house when in fact there really isn't a problem. But those are just two recommendations for the council, but the recommendation of planning and zoning is to approve this as presented.
I would have one question for you, Craig. When you say park in front of the house, are you talking about the unimproved right of way? Or the setback?
The right of way.
In the right of way.
It would be in the right of way. I mean, there are some streets that are wide enough. Many of the streets in Kiri Beach, for example, are not wide enough to have parking, and so there would be this enforcement. But there are some residential streets that are wide enough to be able to allow that. And so rather than forcing those people who might have been parking in front of their house in the right of way on the street, to now get tickets when they've been doing it maybe for 20 years, and it's not a fire or safety type of issue, that there be some sort of mechanism by which the council may be able to look at this.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're going to go into details, so
yes.
That's exactly the issue. I'm glad P&Z recognized that issue. So I looked at what you guys sent, read it in detail, and it's good reading. And then I pulled up Google and just looked through town, Google Maps, and circled cars on how many tickets would be written if it was how you presented it, right? And there were over 60 on the Google map the time I looked at it, so you could look at it. 60 tickets to me means that a lot of people are not going to understand what we proposed. And so I started really looking at it, and Nancy, can you pull up, it's page 410, it's 10222A. Is the one that I think you guys could have fixed, maybe. And now this is the question to the P&Z guys in the room. I don't know how to figure out which page it is all the way down the agenda, but it's page 4 of 10 at the bottom, 3 of 10, 2 of 10.
I don't have the newest version.
Can I make this go up somehow? Oh, you're getting it? Okay, thank you. Hold on, maybe it'll tell me what page it is if I look.
This is on section 10-222, section A.
Yeah, section A is the one where it allows you to park in your current setback. What? Right, so here's how it reads, and Nancy will get it up for everyone that...
I don't have access to it.
Oh.
Well, I can read it right here.
Well, I'll read it.
You want to read it?
Yeah, that's fine. I'll let you read later at work. Passenger vehicles shall be parked only in designated parking spaces, excepting property owners and leasers in the town's residential districts who shall be permitted to park their vehicles within the front yard setback of the property they own or lease in accordance with the applicable provisions of Chapter 19. What I think is you should say within the front yard setback or the unpaved town right-of-way in front of their property. Because that fixed about... Out of the 60 that I saw, that fixed like about 75%, so 45 of them. And then the rest of them were in the homeowners associations, exactly what you were talking about. The roadways are wide enough you could do something. We got to figure out how to do that. I don't know how to fix that one, right? But in most of the old parts of town that I looked at my circles, the circles were all in the unimproved right-of-way, and they were off the pavement. Right, and so we already have a provision. You can drive up a little more in your yard in that 20-foot section in the front of your property and park in the front of your yard. And all the driveways go across that property. So technically, the way this is written is you can't park on your driveway in that gray zone that's the right-of-way, right? Which doesn't make any sense, right?
Well, we actually talk about that, and I would turn it over to the P&Z attorney in terms of specifically, but... That section in terms of what it really meant to the owner was kind of confusing. I mean, there's no question about it. We talked about it. Certainly, we're not trying to prohibit people from parking on their driveway if it's in the right-of-way. What this is trying to do is permit or prohibit people from parking in the right-of-way off the driveway, that they would have to pull further up onto their own property, but not park on the right-of-way.
Yeah, and I understand that. And like I said, I think the reason I like to put it in there is it's the owner or leaser. So then if the person living there calls the police and says someone's in the right-of-way, and it's not me, you know, I'm my property owner, here's my deed, that car is not mine, can you do something about it? The police can still write a ticket because they're in the right-of-way and they're not the owner or leaser of the property.
Right.
But the people that own or lease there can do what they've done, and it's way more than 20 years. It's like ever since I've been born, people parking in the right-of-way all the way down E Street to N Street, right? And Andy can tell you before I was born, right? So the whole time of the town was laid out with roads this big, and we only paved roads this big, and that little gap of land, the town's fought over because people have tried to put all kinds of stuff in the right-of-way. And we've had to fight against that the whole time of the town, but the town has let everyone park there. I think the issue that why I'm all in favor of you guys working on this at all is because I think we're going to get deluged by people, and there's going to be people parking in front of people's yards sooner or later. And I want the police to have a mechanism if the homeowner calls them and says, that car shouldn't be parked in front of my house, they can do something about it. So I agree with you guys. There needs to be something in there to allow the police to do that. But I also want the homeowner, if they're fine with their car there, fine. Because it's off the pavement, you know, it's not an emergency issue to me at that point. All right,
Jim,
I comments.
So I'll let the attorney tell me I'm wrong. But okay.
You're never wrong.
Just mistaken.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Can you write that down?
You've raised two issues. One is the driveway, parking on the driveway part that extends over the right-of-way. I saw that coming, and so I wonder if the insertion of the red language in 222A would eliminate that problem. But let's have a little history lesson first.
Okay.
You all recently, here's my take on what you said.
Okay.
You all recently amended the setback provisions and explicitly allowed for, because there really is no alternative to speak of, off-road vehicle on lots and residential, off-road parking of vehicles on residential lots in the front setback.
I think that's been there, right?
Right.
Was that part of your amendment?
It's expressly there now.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't change the rule, but we reworded it a little bit.
Okay. So I thought that was always there.
It did come up last night that it makes perfect sense that the driveway extends from the property line to the street and crosses over the unimproved portions.
Of course it does. Yeah.
I think that language would correct that problem. But the main point you raise is a policy point that goes to the whole crux of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
The park, and I'll simply tell you what we did as a parking group, and then it'll be up to you all to hammer out what the policy is going to be.
Right.
But as my memo points out, we took the position that the seasonal parking issues based on surveys and anecdotes and conversations with various and what we were fed by the former administration, a whole bunch of materials. We identified the problem as particularly on streets that were not wide enough, as Mr. Galbraith pointed out, that parking in the right-of-way, unless it's a designated parking space, particularly in the neighborhoods with the more narrow roads, did present problems. So the whole approach here that was discussed in the May 15th meeting, that P&Z, your all's public hearing, that PZ&C has looked at twice, and that the parking group developed after four meetings going back to last January, is no passenger vehicle parking in the right-of-way unless a designated parking space. I'm not sure, although your points are common sense and logical, I'm not sure how you would allow that where it might work. certainly in the wider streets, and Mr. Goldberg mentioned needing a mechanism to try to make that happen, but more particularly how that would work in the narrow streets where parking in the right-of-way has led historically to complaints, which I can let Mr. Richardson speak to, because you certainly fed me a lot of right-of-way concerns from your neighbors, but more particularly to first responders going down a narrow street. So I'll just give it back to you all. The approach we've taken for the past 6 or 7 months is no parking in the public right-of-way unless it's in a designated parking space. Your point challenges that approach, and
if I could add one thing to it, I think the example you gave, this thing means no parking in the public right-of-way, regardless of whether you're the owner of that property behind that right-of-way or whether you're a visitor. That's the way it reads that. So
that's right. That's okay. Exactly the reason I proposed changes. And I would say that having driven the fire trucks and emergency vehicles in town for 24 years, that if people did not park on the pavement, you can drive anywhere in town except for the downtown area where people have big trucks sticking out. That's the place you can't get the emergency vehicle to sometimes. But, and that's why I said it very specifically the way I did, not on the unpaved section of the right-of-way. Because if cars are sticking out, wherever it is, they're on the pavement, that's when it's a problem. Yeah. The narrow street. And I'm not saying I'm right. I propose a change. One, he addressed the exact issue that I identified before I said anything, and I was just answering my thoughts about it. Because I think that when you try to, one, like I said, if someone parks in front of someone's home in the right-of-way and they're not their visitor, then I want the police to be able to deal with that. But if they live there and have been parking that way for 30 years, which a number of citizens in the old part of town have told me about, because when this issue came up, that's the calls I got. What are you guys doing? And, oh, by the way, there's nowhere on my lot to park cars unless I push it up against my house because I have 20 feet and I've planted my nice flowers or whatever. And so I either got to rip out my whole front yard to move the parking up or find somewhere else, which there's not anywhere else, right? I want to park my car in my house, right? So that's why I tried to address it very specifically, because I'm very, very sensitive, because I drive the fire truck, to the issue of emergency access. I mean, I'm one of those guys driving it. Not often anymore, because I'm old.
I'm thinking that we have maybe a problem with terms. I'm going to try it this way. Where we have paved right-of-way, you do not park there unless there is a marked parking space. Paved right-of-way. Then you have the right-of-way that is unimproved. And I thought we were talking about the unimproved right-of-way that owners and leasers could park in the unimproved right-of-way, which many of the folks do. But it's only the owners and the leasers. It's not Joe that I never met pulling up into the unimproved right-of-way. It's people I have said you can park there or not. Now, I don't know if that's a legal issue or not, but that's the way that I was interpreting things. On the pavement, it better be a marked space. Off the pavement, it better be your car or a car you approved.
We raised that issue, and the committee, after the public hearing that you had, went back and they talked about that. What was presented to us was that they decided to keep it the way it was, that right now that nobody can park on a right-of-way, whether improved or unimproved, unless it's marked. That's currently as it's been presented. Okay. That's how we voted. We didn't necessarily have agreement on that particular issue, because we were all kind of trying to figure out what these terms meant, and that's why I think it's very important. And I said that if, you know, regardless of whatever's passed, I think it'd be communicated to the public, you know, in a very clear way with some graphics as to what we're talking about right here. But the parking committee, the ad hoc parking committee, came back and stayed with the language that is currently before you, which would prohibit anybody from parking on the improved or unimproved.
I think, me personally, I'm having trouble with this with the part about improved or unimproved. I think that the definition I'm hearing is improved is the town or the state came through and put down concrete and asphalt and the curb and a little roll up. Unimproved is from that curb, the first 10 feet is right away that the town owns for. But if you look at my house, I say, that's improved. It's grass and flowers and everything else. Mm-hmm. It is improved over just being a strip of dirt.
Well, that's why I said paved.
I agree with you.
It's very clear to everyone, if you're on pavement, you're getting a ticket, and if you're not, then you're not, unless the homeowner calls.
Right, but if it's in the print as, you are allowed to only park on unimproved, some people are going to think unimproved means dirt and not grass and rock and...
Well, the thought would being that only you could park in that unimproved space.
I agree with that.
So whether it's grass and irrigation or whether it's dirt, you decide if you're going to park on it or if you're going to let somebody park
on
it, right?
So I get to make that decision.
Could we say on the right-of-way from the back of the curb? I don't guess there's a curb everywhere.
There's not curbs. There's not a curb on 421.
That wouldn't work. I just thought that...
If I can also interject, because we did have this discussion and we didn't really pursue the legal issue of, because they're both right-of-ways, whether you can restrict a right-of-way, a public right-of-way, to only one type of person and not another type of person. And
How would you enforce it? I mean, how's the police officer going to come across? Is he going to go up?
It would be a citizen complaint.
It would be a citizen complaint.
So they would, if you're off the pavement... They're not going to mess with anyone unless a citizen calls, and it'd be the homeowner. And I think to Mike, he gets citizen complaints all the time. And I think writing a ticket, then we have a process where the person can say, no, I had permission. They could go to the hearing officer because we have a hearing officer for these type of tickets, right? They're not they're civil fines, right? So they go before our hearing officer, and then the hearing officer can decide whether they pay or not. But they at least know you're not supposed to be parking in front of your house without your permission. And I think that's
unless
what happens right. That's what happens
space.
Right now, because there's not enough pressure. So right now on a big Saturday weekend, the police officer go to E Avenue and because the homeowner called them and tell them if they can find the person, you need to get off this property. That's happening right now. I mean, it's not just E Avenue. It happens on I Avenue. It probably happens on 3rd Avenue. Close to multiple beach accesses. And so they go and they tell the person to leave. Or the person yells out their door, hey, don't park there. And then some people are actually putting up signs that say no parking in front of their houses right now on E Avenue, because I see it every weekend. And so I think the issue for me is just, and it was at the public hearing when one of the residents said, wait a minute, you're supposed to be looking out for us first. And that's what I'm trying to do. Maybe we got to figure out how to do it. But I think the citizens, if they decide, you know what, I can get my cars off the road, but I'm going to pile them in right now because I'm having a party for my daughter, right, at my house, right? And I'm an offender. So when you look on Google, you can circle the cars at my house. I firmly admit it. But I'm not saying it just for me. There's plenty of other people down that way to talk about it. As long as it's off the street, it does not impede any emergency services, and none of my neighbors care about it. But I certainly wouldn't go 10 feet over and park on my neighbor's right-of-way. And I know it's not his, it's ours. It's the town's right-of-way, so there's some public issues there. But I'm just concerned that with this change, there are huge numbers of residents that cannot park their cars where they parked them since they bought their houses or built their houses 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's my issue. And I think that if you tell me the change is illegal, roger that, then we got to fix that. It can't be illegal. I understand that. But I'm just saying that the unpaved right-of-way added to that one section, which already says you can do it in their setback. Because what happens if someone's parked in the setback right now and the police show up?
Nothing.
They're illegal.
Yeah, because they're trespassing, even if you don't have it marked.
No,
because we had someone tell us he had to mark his lot with signs so he could get stuff towed.
I thought you meant property owners or lessors parking in their property's front yard.
No, someone else. A visitor to our lovely place comes down and pulls up in someone's front yard because their other cars are there now because they're not in the right of way and they park right beside them.
Illegal.
What is it? Because it's trespassing? Do you have to have it marked?
I don't know if it's trespassing or violation of the parking ordinance, but you're parking on somebody else's property now.
Well, it's just, well, if it's a violation of the parking ordinance, then if we write it unpaved, that's the same violation. So if you tell me that, then I'm leaning, and I'm not a lawyer, but I'm leaning, wait a minute, how can you say it's a violation of the parking ordinance on private property but not on public property?
Well, then call it trespassing.
Okay.
Let's get to the crux of the matter, because everything was drafted with the knowledge that, and we've had this discussion many times, the unimproved portion of the right-of-way, and we gave examples of what that unimproved portion may consist of, including utilities, vegetative strips, whatnot. But the whole approach for the past 6 months has been not to allow parking on the right-of-way unless in designated parking space. So if we're going to change that approach, PZC and the parking group need direction.
One of the issues that drove, I think, up to look at that was the, and it has happened, and not to a great extent, but the people now using that as a permanent parking spot for vehicles that they never move.
So that can be different,
yeah,
right?
And we're looking at the how the city looks when you're coming down. And this is obviously more in the HOA areas with narrow streets. But we just didn't want all of a sudden to proliferate both sides with just cars, and then some of them may not move for months. They're still legal vehicles, but, you know, and so we were looking at aesthetic reasons to try not to basically put another lane in on each side for the people. So that was kind of like our thought process to try to say, well, if we allow that, you know, the next step will be, well, okay, I can just leave my car there, you know. So it's a balance, whatever council decides. But that's kind of like what we were trying to come up with. And some of the right of ways are very narrow.
I agree.
And
they can't fit a car that's not
right
in the pavement. That's exactly right.
So if you're in the right of way, you're still going to have a wheel in the pavement in some cases.
But you could pull partly in your yard and have it off.
And you could go into
and that's why I said it very specifically off the pavement.
We are incredibly close. We actually are incredibly close. The one exception here is we have citizens who want to be able to park in the unimproved right-of-way. And then we have currently, the way it's written, a proposal for an ordinance that will not allow that, even if people wish to do it for themselves. And I think the only difference we're talking about here is that if the property owner wishes to park in the unimproved right-of-way, that the property owner has the right to do that, because nobody's going to call the chief and say, hey, my neighbor's parking in his own right-of-way.
This is meant to be,
unless
you park where you're supposed to be. If this is the house you're supposed to be at, you park at that house. You don't park in your neighbor's yard
right. In
the first 10 feet.
Right.
I'll use, for example, where I live on 4th Street. There's an empty lot. The guy across the street does VRBO. You don't have enough parking for the 12 cars you bring down here, put them in that empty lot. He should not be allowed to do that. He lines three cars up. The owner roped it off. He still lines them up. That's not right.
No, I agree with that.
And that's
and the owner should tell the police chief
and the people
ticket
that
every
don't
car
have
there.
Room in their front yard. I don't think Mike Mountain and the police department is going to go write tickets for this, because I feel they will obviously see these people don't have space. We're not going to ticket them.
Well, then the hearing officer is going to see Google Maps with all the circle of the cars parked
and
illegally that aren't being addressed.
Well,
that's what's going to happen.
What, 12, 14 tickets this year?
But none of those are right away.
I don't think tickets is going to be the issue.
Were any of those completely off the pavement?
And we're talking about
none of those tickets were completely off the pavement.
That's
my point.
That's fine, but who's going to decide what side of the street? Because you say, well, we're going to park it on your side. There's people who go, I don't want these damn cars in front of my house. You go to the other side. I don't want them in front of my house. So that's not going to happen either.
I think we had another PNC input.
Well, I was going to say the other thing we discussed was safety. It's not just emergency vehicle access. It's not just aesthetics. It was safety too. And we had pictures presented to us that showed in the public right of way, unimproved, even if it's your own yard, you park there and it blocks an intersection, view around an intersection. So there could be occasion where it causes a safety issue. So it could be.
Well, there's other issues around within 15 feet of a stop sign. So, okay, I agree with that. Yeah. Right? So, I mean, you could narrow it. Yeah, so I'm not saying I have the right answer. I'm just very concerned that the proposal got to the point of a Google map shows 60 citizens violating it with no work. That's why I proposed. When it first came up, and not only that, but the head of PNC that presented it to me said, we have concerns with this one issue, the exact one that I found, and we don't have the solution. To me, I'm not there. I'm one vote, so you only need three others, but I'm telling you that
as we've stated,
if we propose it like it is, I can't vote for it. I'm voting against it.
Can I mention the two solutions that we discussed? Okay.
Sure.
Regarding this, one is that simply keep the language as it is, basically, which would restrict people from parking in any right of way, whether it's the street right of way or whether it's the unimproved right of way. But then you allow a individual property owner to apply for a parking pass, if you will, or something like that, where the fire chief or somebody could go out. And if there's enough room on the street, they could park in the right of way in the street. If there's not enough, they could park on the right of way. But that would be an individual permit that would allow that individual property owner to park in whatever right of way would be permitted by that. The other option is to, in fact, bifurcate this into the roadway right of way versus the unimproved right of way and prohibit people from parking in the improved or the street right of way, but allow people who are owners to park in the unimproved right-of-way. The concern we had about that is enforcement. You know, how would somebody know, you know, whether that vehicle is owned by or, you know, by a leaser or owned by the property? So it would have to be a complaint-driven type of process.
Right.
The other thing is that since they're both right-of-ways, and again, I'd have to turn to the attorney on that, can you restrict one type of right-of-way and allow it in the other right-of-way when they're both right-of-ways?
Well, there are different right-of-ways. The only thing I would say here is I think that's an administrative nightmare to have the chief of police writing passes and for the police then to say, geez, I wonder if the guy has a pass or is there a pass in the winter on. So I think this thing needs a little more work. And we've done a little bit of a disservice, I think, with our attorney, because we do have him on a particular path, and I think there's a little bit of a misunderstanding between us. So I think this needs some additional work. Or did you have something else to say, Ken?
The smaller sample of data, we're going to have to see how we can do anything.
That's right.
So we're going to push it to next summer then.
No, we're not going to push it to next summer, but I tell you what, there's this
is 2 weeks
this
away.
15
we're
feet.
Going to push it to next summer.
The 15 feet from the corner is a very valid concern.
Getting back parking. To the concept that's being kicked around, citizen complaint, owner, hey, somebody's in my part of the right of way. How in the world are the four visitors coming to town going to know that they're not allowed to park there?
How do they know right now?
Well, I mean, if
they see cars already parked there, they may think it's legal to park there. That's, I think, what you're saying.
No, they don't. So that's exactly the issue that I'm talking about. So right now, visitors are coming down. We get maxed out. It just happened Memorial Day weekend. I live on I Avenue saw exactly the same thing. Everywhere in the median, which are de facto parking lots right now, and council's got to decide what we're going to do about that, because I would argue that they should, if you guys write it the way it is, we're going to turn them into parking lots and mark them off and make sure they're barricaded to be safe at the intersections. But everyone's parking there, and it's the right thing to do because they're going to park in people's properties. When those are full, people right now aren't pulling in front of people's houses. They're not pulling in the unincorporated way, except for two houses, and they have no parking signs there. But they don't. But no one parks there because they put those signs out right now. And the police leave those signs alone. If we do this, we're going to impact our citizens because they can't park in front of their houses anymore. Some of them like me, and I'm fortunate, I have enough property in the back that I can make a driveway and take all my cars to the back of my house. So I already have a backup plan. And I'm working on buying a lot, an undeveloped lot beside my house so that I can have another driveway. Not because of this, but because I've wanted it for 20 years and the guy finally wants to sell it. But aside from that, so I have my solution. I can get around this if the council does it. But there's a huge number of people. Like I said, 60 cars on just a random sampling. And I bet it's more if you drove around. The police chief could tell you, and so can the fire chief, that in N Avenue to E Avenue, the majority of where people park their cars, unless they go under their house, every one of those houses are predicated on parking in the right-of-way. Every one of them. Show me the one that's not, every one of them. And so what we're saying is we're going to pass a rule that we're either going to not enforce, which to me is BS. You shouldn't have a rule you don't enforce. Or we're going to selectively enforce it, and then everyone's going to go to the hearing officer and take a picture of all the other cars and say, you're picking on me, case dismissed, keep your $25, thanks for coming. And it's just going to be a big mess. And so I don't think we should, I can't let us do that without at least saying something about it. Three of you guys can vote for that, and we can do it, and I will comply because I'm on council. But most of my neighbors will not be able to comply. And I will tell the police chief, if we pass this and a car is parked in the right of way at my house, he will give it a ticket and I'll pay every one. And it'll piss me off every time, but I'll do it. But many of my neighbors can't do that. They physically can't do it. Go drive around their houses and look. They just cannot do it. And they don't have the backyard that I have. I have a double deep lot. So they can't even go around to the back of their property. So they're going to tear up their front yards after they get enough tickets and pull into the setback and have their cars parked right up against the front of their houses and have a 10-foot section where they can be parking. This the town's right of way.
This is not a zoning, so it doesn't require public. I mean, you can change this however you want, pass it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. And we struggle with exactly the same issue. This section 10-222, the language, what it implies for the residents, because again, we're trying to have a particular ordinance that applies to everybody in Curie Beach when you have all these kind of different types of situations. But since this is not a zoning change as section 19 is, or chapter 19, you can change this however you want.
Well, the issue is it has to integrate with what he did in 19. So I agree with the point. They have to go together.
May I comment?
Yes, you may.
If you want to do it for this summer and P&Z is not meeting in July, then you're going to have to adopt something tonight, and you can mm-hmm. instruct staff, so to speak, how you want it done and entertain a motion and do that. Otherwise, it will be August before it comes, August or September. Before it comes back to you. What I'm hearing is, Commissioner, or Council Member, sorry.
That's okay.
And tell me if I'm on the right track. If we looked at 222A mm-hmm. and inserted that language I showed you about the driveway, just to clear up that little gray zone, and somehow or another revise that section to permit owners and let it'd be two insertions on the driveway to cover the gray zone where the driveway covers the right of way, and front yard setback, which is already there, and the unimproved portion,
unpaved. Just say unpaved.
Unpaved portions of the right of way abutting their property.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, sir. That's yes. all. That's all yes. I proposed
with
to
add. With the proviso, I'd have to go through the rest of
yes,
the
sir.
Text amendments to make sure they're consistent. That's right. What I recommend. If you all want that policy, entertain that motion, and let's get on with it.
And I would make one other comment that corner lots are going to require some degree of work
because if you're going to park and you unimproved right away on the corner lot and block the view, that's got to be a problem. So we've got that, what, 15 foot?
Well, that's why it says the front yard, even a corner lot, the building inspector will tell you, one of the sides is a front yard.
Yes.
The other side is not.
Okay, all right.
We've got line of sight considerations already.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I think the PNC attorney has a valid point, and I, one in particular, I think as I described it before, would like to see unpaved right-of-way parking allowed for residents and their guests.
Yeah, so...
So
do we want to add guests or just say operators and lessors?
Residents and lessors, and then they're the only ones that will call to complain.
Yeah,
if you're their guest, you're a resident or lessor.
Well, and that segues into the Chapter 19 text amendment. I mean...
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
If that's...
So I'll make a motion then. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Before you make that motion...
Yes, sir.
I would like to recommend as part of that, that we have an implementation date, not be tomorrow morning, because we pass something tonight, either 1 July or 1 week, or do something. But we can't.
That's right. Well, I think July 1st makes sense, and then we need a communication plan, which is what I've always said to Joe. Is we, you know, after tonight, it needs to go out to the residents via our email and be on our website, so at least our visitors have a chance to see it. That look. If you leave your car hanging off on the pavement, you
and
might get a
court.
Ticket. Or golf cart, right?
Just give me a little time to make the revision.
Yes, sir. Do you want it is longer than July 1st?
No.
I picked that because it makes sense.
Do it by July 1st.
Yeah.
Tomorrow by 5?
That's what I was thinking.
So
we have July 1st, and I think we'll have a moratorium that we should agree to, that maybe the warning tickets go out.
I was going to recommend let's warning tickets for the next week and a half.
Just a quick
he can't
no,
do it
no,
before
no.
he has
after orders. It would be about 10 days or 2 weeks after we approve it.
So you're looking at past July 4th.
That's fine. You can get warning tickets to know how many you gave. So is it a tracking or a money issue? If it's a tracking issue, warning tickets are tracking.
Data, so when we address this in November, we have something.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's a managed
so warning
parking
tickets
issue.
Are tracking. So warning tickets are tracking. I'm sure the chief can tell us how many warning tickets he's going
to. So it's a managed parking issue. So who wants to make the. David,
I'll
you want
to
go ahead and make
sure,
that motion.
Sure, I'll be glad to. So I make a motion we direct the attorney to change the language in 10-222A to include. I gotta read it hard. Sorry. It's too small. There we go. Property owners and lessors in the town's residential districts who shall be permitted to park their vehicles when the front yard setback and the non-paved right of way in front of the property they own or lease in accordance with the provisions of 19 and they can park them on their driveways, which is the other part that he brought.
One courtesy that I would request, I understand that if the motion passes, I can do that. It would increase my comfort level if I could shoot you a copy and you make sure that...
Yes, sir, I'll be glad.
Okay,
you can shoot all five of us.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do that.
Yes, and we'll make sure that you get it with an agreement on it.
Yes, sir.
I second David's motion.
Okay, we have a motion, a second, and we've had tremendous discussion.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Could I repeat that motion?
Yes,
what
ma'am.
What exactly are you adding to include?
Yes.
To add property owner and the non-paid.
I will put the ad, yes.
Rather than cite the specific language, since I might actually tweak it, why don't you
direct
the motion to revise 10.22A to include provisions allowing for parking to reference parking on the driveway and on the unpaved portion
right.
of the right of way abutting the front yard of the property. Something wrong.
Make a motion we direct the attorney to amend 10-22A to add, as he defines, the driveway and the unpaved right of way parking allowances.
Okay.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. We had a tremendous amount of discussion.
All in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
And to the parking committee, thank you. You guys are doing great work. The issue for me is, you know, it's all about, you're exactly right, we're trying to solve a really problem, a real big problem, before it becomes a real big problem. You guys are doing good stuff, so don't take it any other way.
Okay. All right, so let's move on and...
Yes, sir.
You want me to go?
Chapter 19, yes.
Have you done the rest of chapter 10? Or are you just dealing with, you're not going to do anything?
I'm fine with the rest of chapter 10.
I had no other issues with chapter 10. Except how they relate to that particular revision.
No, y'all put a lot of good stuff in there.
Does this mean now that we can call up the mother-in-law and say she can't come down?
Yes.
She can't park in front of the house.
Well, so the issue is the hearing officer is going to tell her she doesn't have to pay $25, but she should go kick the butt.
Okay. Let's keep moving. We have a closed session tonight still.
Okay. Section 19, this is a zoning change, so if there's any changes to this, it would have to go to a public hearing first. Chapter 10. This had to do with kind of segues to our last discussion about people parking a lot of cars on their front yard, basically, that there's no limit to it. And so there was a general feeling, and we had a number of people come in and talk about this as a public hearing, that there should be a limit as to the number of cars that could be parked in your front yard. And so this refers to the table, section 19-339. Mm-hmm. The only recommendation that we're recommending here is...
Please, the attorney, yeah. I mean, so the town clerk here?
Yeah, is on the table in section 19-339 is number one, which is referring to any residential use consisting of one or two dwelling units. So we're talking about just single unit housing or townhomes or condos. And the recommendation here is that we add under required parking, where it says two parking spaces for up to three bedrooms and one additional parking space for each bedroom thereafter per dwelling unit provided. And I don't have the latest in front of me. I have the one we started with. But
it's on the screen.
Oh, it's on the screen. Okay, there it is. Provided that no more than six vehicles be parked on a property at any one time for a property consisting of one dwelling unit, and no more than four vehicles per dwelling unit shall be parked on a property at any one time for a property consisting of two dwelling units. Just very quickly, why we have that kind of fine-tuning, at least in the second part of the recommended change there, is that that would prevent, if you just say, you know, eight, let's say for a townhome that has two dwelling units, you might have one parking seven, which would only allow one, the other person to park one. So we're breaking it as four per unit right there. And so that is our recommendation, and that's the only recommendation having to do with section 19-339.
I'm sorry to ask this question, but if you have four F-150s, and they don't fit, are they still allowed to park four F-150s?
They could park, according to this, they could park six F-150s.
They don't fit?
Most people will park on their driveway, but this would allow probably some to park. And the reason is that if you drive around on a peak evening during the summer on a weekend, there are some that will have 12 or 13 cars parked on, which right now would be legal. Okay, so this is limiting the number of cars. Now, they obviously could park in the driveway. This only affects, you know, parking in the front. They could park in the driveway.
Guess they're only legal if they fit, though, Craig, right? They're blocking the street.
And the owner can park in the right-of-way.
But
having a max is good, I think, right?
Yeah, I do, too.
Because it'll stick out a little bit.
And it's a reasonable number.
Yeah.
And it would fit out, it'd be out into the pavement anyway.
Conditions that were just described.
That's what I'm saying. Well, so the number would be okay, but they still might be in the bike lane.
But then they'd be in violation of chapter 10.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. All right. As long as there's a window there somehow, you know. So if I have eight Coopers and they all fit, you're going to nail me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The other question is, what if it's a residence with an unimproved lot attached to it? So that's the only issue.
Well, that'd be a separate property, I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what I was asking, right? So there are double lots. There's not very many, but there's double lots in town. This assumes, I assume, a 5,000 square foot lot. But if you had, like, an 8,000 square foot lot, we might not care. I'm okay with it, by the way. I'm just asking the question because that's what there's the three people in town that Mike's got to deal with.
The first line, before you get to the table, the first line of section 19339 reads as follows. The number of off-street parking spaces required by this section shall be provided on the same or contiguous lot. But when you get to the table, it's lot specific. Even
okay.
The two
okay. 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 All right. So the table is lot specific. Okay. So even if you have two lots and you deed them together, there's two lots. That's fine. Not very many people apply to. Just interested.
So this really would have its primary effect on where you see 12 or 13 cars mm-hmm. parked on.
Yeah. No. Okay. I think it's good because this is the one that helps address the issue.
So, and again, since this is a zoning change, any changes would have to go to public hearing on
this. We would have a public hearing on
public
this
hearing in August.
Yeah.
August or July?
July. This is how long it takes July. Nancy to advertise, right?
It's June, right?
We're in June.
Yeah. July.
In July.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
the public hearing before the meeting in July? So
we could do that.
I'm all good with this one, so I'll leave you guys alone.
Yeah, I think yeah, we could do that. We could do that earlier.
Whatever. I mean,
6 o'clock?
I know, yeah.
I mean,
this will need to be broadcast out on to the short-term rental companies.
Do you want to have a special meeting? Or just
well, I'm saying we can have a special meeting if you want to get this thing out here before August.
No, because we can vote on it at that meeting after the public hearing, right? Yeah,
well, that's what I'm saying. We could have a public hearing.
Yeah, the 17th. I don't think I don't think we could. How much are the advertising requirements for zoning?
I think it's 7 days.
10, no less than 25. Twice on successive weeks, no less than 10, no more than 25.
So nice to hear you, July.
No less than 10.
Yeah, so
10
days. I'm fine with just doing a July meeting. I don't think the...
Yeah, I don't think it says it carries the weight of the parking. So
okay. All right. So this isn't... But I tell you, we're going to hear from the rental companies on this one.
Whatever.
So, I mean, that, I'm okay with that, too. Yeah. So... Well, then we'll take a public meeting.
Oh, no, I agree with that one. No,
Nancy, public meeting on
July 17th?
Yeah. Go ahead. Let's have the.
Make a motion that we have a public hearing July 17th at 6 p.m.
That'll damp down.
Yeah, all right. That'll keep it quiet.
A different crowd, 6 p.m.
So, do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Hey.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
sir. Thank you, Craig.
Mr. Mayor, before you go any further, I'm understanding you're not doing anything with Chapter 2 tonight other than directing the attorney to rewrite in 2C2A. Is that correct?
That's the
yes.
only change we're.
That's the only change that we're asking
so
for.
So her question is, do you want to approve everything else except for that one section?
It was my understanding that council voted to approve the Chapter 10 proposed text amendments on with the revision 2C2A.
Well, we just don't have. That's her concern.
That is the intent.
Well, that's not.
That was the intent, is to get it approved and to get it going.
Okay.
The only motion was to direct you.
I'll make that motion, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get it going.
Okay, so thank you for keeping this straight, Nancy. Good job. I make a motion we approve Section 10.
Chapter
10,
Article 6.
Chapter 10, Article 6, as presented with 10-222A to be revised by the attorney prior to publishing. Can I do it that way?
Prior to being accepted.
Well, then do we have to have another meeting to accept it?
Well, yeah, you still have to have the language.
I know, so that's what I...
So we'll have to have a meeting before...
Well, okay, so... So what is it?
Let's discuss for a moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
If
I mean, I don't know what language.
Had Mr. Baxson poll us yesterday, and we made it a consent agenda item in retrospect.
Oh.
Why doesn't the attorney poll us with his
well,
new information?
Well, Nancy would poll us, but yeah. Can we have, once we get you poll us, and then we put it on the consent agenda in July? Once we agree to the language for 10-122?
But if
that's a good
when
point.
It gets done...
Right.
He sends it out through Nancy, and she sends it out. It's a poll. We all agree.
or at least three of us.
So we definitely want to do it right, so thank you, Nancy, for keeping us doing it right.
Yes.
We think we're comfortable with everything but one small section, so tell us the path forward so we can keep it moving. Without waiting until the July meeting.
You're adopting an amendment to your ordinance. I think you should see the language that you're voting
on. Okay. I agree with that.
We'll take
that's
a look
why
at the
I
language.
Said accept 122. All right.
In my opinion, Mr. Sherman.
You're right.
So when will you be done, you think? Because we could continue the meeting and then get back together.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Today's the
and we can continue it like to a reasonable time next week.
I can have it done by Monday at the latest.
Okay.
Okay, so can we move this to the end and continue it? Can everyone make a Monday evening meeting? Afternoon? Late?
Evening? I will be in Los Angeles.
Nice.
So I can call in.
Well, okay. we can excuse you.
Yeah, or you can call in.
Or you can call in.
Hey, wants
to
vote?
I will not be here. I have another board meeting, but I'm not sure my presence is necessary.
No. Well,
as long as we, via email, approve the words, right?
Yeah.
Does that work better, Nancy?
I'm just flying on Monday. I'll be available, you know, if y'all do it at 5, I should be riding around somewhere on the Pacific Coast.
Or Tuesday, I'm also available.
Okay, I'm open to the rest of the council. I can be here for sure Monday. I don't know about Tuesday because I might be in
here. Tuesday.
Okay, so
it is Monday. It is Monday. And what is the date of that Monday?
25th.
The 25th. Monday the 25th.
Yeah, I can be here at 5.
Pick a time. 5?
Can you be here at 5?
Yeah, I'm not going
to work. So okay. Make a motion we hold this to Monday at 5 and continue the meeting tonight.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Okay.
Yes, Nancy.
We have a motion on the table already to approve Chapter 10 amendments.
Yes.
With the exception of Section 222 to be revised by the attorney. So are you taking that motion off and now making a motion to continue the meeting?
I would.
Yes. Yes, we are. One direction.
So you got to tell me it fails for lack of a second to help Nancy out. Thank you, Nancy.
So now you
see why we like her so much, everyone?
Yeah.
She does really keep us straight.
You're making a motion to continue this meeting to the 25th.
And to continue this issue to the.
Yes.
Yes.
And 25th. Can you call me right, Nancy?
Sure. I'll make myself.
But for you, it'll be 2 o'clock.
Was there a second?
Need a second?
Second.
Second. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Man.
Okay. That was painful.
That was good stuff. That was good stuff.
Now, you guys are doing good work, so don't feel like, sorry, I'm a problem child.
And Mike, I know we talked about it, but I just want to say it on record. He's going to keep track of everything, so when we can come back and address this.
Exactly right.
After the, I always look at the Stephen Blues and Jazz Festival at the end of the season, kind of see how everything goes at that point. And hopefully we get some public feedback, see how it goes. So we can address it and then make any amendments for next year.
Okay. All right, adoption of the National Floodplain Ordinance and Resolutions.
We can make this painful also.
All right, please, John.
Help us out.
Since we're making about $2 an hour this month.
That's good. We want to give the citizens their money for it.
Thank you.
No. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
You guys go have a beer on me.
I'll try to make this as short as possible. If you've got any questions, I'll try to answer them as best I can. But I'll give you the overview again. We began participating in FIP in 1982. These new maps came out in 2004. The only reason they haven't come to us yet for acceptance is because Crestwood Beach filed an appeal because they affected their areas so much. Big deal, and so they hired an engineering firm and filed an appeal, and I really don't even know what the status of that, how that came out for them, but at any rate, New Hanover County is slated for adopting and making the maps effective on August 28th. So we have to adopt this ordinance and adopt the maps by 828 or every property owner in Curie Beach will never be able to have flood insurance again.
Sorry, I need to.
Okay.
So, real quick, as of last year, almost to the date, we had 939 policies and $259 million in coverage. And with the CRS program that we participate in, we save about $40,000 a year right now. With the new flood maps coming out, only 146 policies will be required throughout town. What that means is our flood zones have gone down, and I'll show you in the map here in just a second. Actually, I'll show you right now, and then we'll go through the ordinance section. So this is available to anybody that has a computer and knows how to operate Google. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is type in NCFRIS in the Google search bar, NCFRIS. This page will load up just like this. It shows our great state of North Carolina, and what you would do is you click on New Hanover County.
Can you hear the good part of New Hanover County?
That zooms us right down to our panel number, it's 3039. This is all up Curie Beach. I realize this says Carolina Beach right here, but you can see Alabama Avenue. Now it goes back to the water tower. That is where Curie Beach starts. This is the existing floodplain as it stands right now. So all of the green is what's known as a B zone or velocity. So you can expect wave action of 3+ feet in this flood zone. This area here, this is what's called an AE zone. It's shallow, still flooding. It's usually less than 3 feet. So you can see what is existing. This has been in place since 2006. There's the pier. H Avenue, Lagoon. That's where we're sitting right now.
Oh yeah, that's flooding.
And our jurisdictional limits. Now we do have ETJ that goes along the entire coastline back here of the river. So once again, this is available to anybody that wants to jump online and Google it, and I'll be happy to talk to you over the phone to show you how to use it. So you see this toggle up here on the right hand says the screen says effective. Click on that, hit preliminary. These are the new flood maps that we're getting, or hopefully you guys are going to pass tonight. Mm-hmm. Once again, here's our jurisdictional limits. You see a new zone pops up. This is the yellow zone. This is basically what it's called is a 0.02% chance of flooding. There is no regulatory ordinance that pertains to this. So basically you're allowed to build just like you were not building in a flood zone. You also do not have to have insurance. In the blue and green zone, those are the A and E, or A and B, as we spoke about earlier. So as you can see, what was here, what was in the flood zone, been taken out for the most part except for the ocean front.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll take you up to the other big part of town. As you can see, it's primarily just the ocean front that is in the flood zone now. It takes our complete business district out of the flood zone except for the pier.
Wow.
These are only oceanfront houses here. Does not go across the street. You can see this whole strip of oceanfront from Sea Lane to Curie Village Way is completely out of the flood zone.
Wow. They're crazy.
So you may not need insurance, but you may still want insurance.
Exactly right.
That would be a preferred flood risk policy that costs $423 a year.
Exactly right. So they're going to basically have a lower flood insurance policy if they smartly keep it.
Same, about $250 each.
Wow. So once again, this is what we're going to. This is what is.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
So, to go through the ordinance real quick, I thought I'd just point out the things that there's quite a bit of optional language that we as the jurisdiction can add. Most of it we have no choice on. The higher standards are the optional languages in most cases. The only other optional language would be for different things that really don't pertain to us, so you don't see them in this ordinance. And so I thought I'd highlight the ones that have the potential to cost our property owners more money, mm-hmm. or they could rebuild or renovate or build brand new. So the first one would be under definitions, and the definition is regulatory flood protection elevation. What that is freeborn. Mm-hmm. In 2012, we had a new building code came out that instituted a 1 foot freeboard, whether we liked it or not. We had to abide by it. Mm-hmm. That same year, we started the CRS program. Part of the reason that we were placed in a Class 8 class of that program, and the reason we saved $40,000 was because we were judged based off that 1 foot freeboard. Mm-hmm. Since then, the Building Code Council struck that part of the building code, and so we no longer have to enforce that 1 foot of freeboard. I threw it back in here as an option. I don't think it would really hurt anybody, but I'm sure it probably would. You just saw how the flood zone is. Most of the oceanfront are in a BE zone. They're already being hit with higher costs to construct new structures, so I don't feel like a 1 foot freeboard would really hurt anybody, but of course there will be that one sooner or later. That's completely up to you guys. The next place I have was on page 11, section 3A-2.
So your recommendation is to keep that, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Beach is going with a 2 foot freeboard.
What was their reasoning? Do you know?
Higher CRS rating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lower CRS class.
Right. Lower base.
Yes.
Okay. Should we consider that? That's not your recommendation, is that?
I don't think so.
You don't say it'll help? No. Okay. It won't help the citizens. Okay.
It's the juice versus greed. Remember me mentioning that before.
Yep. Is that correct?
We went from 380 policy required policies to 146.
Yep. Okay.
Page 11, number 3, certification requirements. Number 2 there, what this is, standard operating procedure for my department right now is when somebody builds in the flood zone, they have to present me an elevation certificate before I issue the building permit. Basically what that's saying is, here's where I'm planning on building the elevation of my first living floor at, so that it is above the base flood elevation. This is required. So then I watch the project throughout the completion, and then at the end they have to present me with another elevation certificate that says, here's how it is, this is what we built it to. Mm-hmm. I hope it's right, because I don't check it in the book. Okay? So section 2 here is requiring that there be an elevation certificate in the middle of the construction. As soon as you get that first floor, that first habitable floor poured in, then you have to provide me with another elevation certificate. This is really a fail-safe for the property owner, even though it's probably going to cost them another $500. This is just fail-safe to make sure that the contractor's done his job and built to the elevations that he proposed. The next section is page 13.
And you're recommending that one as well, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Everything that's in here, I'm recommending.
Okay, good. I'll quit asking that. I'm sorry.
13.
Page 13. Top of the page, F.
F.
B zone certification. So if you build in the B zone, engineer has to certify that what he has engineered is basically not going to float away. It's not going to cause problems for his other properties, etc. He has to present that at the beginning of construction. This is saying that he has to come back in and certify that it was built the way he designed it. Okay. We don't currently do that right now. I think this is a great idea, and I propose for us to start doing that.
And the B zone is just the velocity. Light blue, right? The velocity zone?
That's the green zone.
The velocity zone is the green zone, yes, sir.
Okay.
Wave action.
And our code already requires kick-out walls and all that for the first floor in that addition front. So is that what he's sort of certifying?
Our already covers all that. Yes,
so he's sort of that's what he's certifying. His design has complies all that. Okay.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
And it was built to it. Okay.
The last thing I wanted to point out was on page 27. The reason I want to point this out is because it's kind of a big deal for us, and it may kick us into a lower CRS class by itself.
What? Cool.
This is called Standards for Coastal A Zones. So I mentioned earlier that we have jurisdictional limits, and then we have ETJs. Mm-hmm. We were actually going to take this out because in our actual jurisdictional limits, we have no A Zones, Coastal A Zones. But we do in our ETJs.
Okay.
So if we leave this in here, we're looking at gaining 650 points for our CRS rating, which could potentially knock us down a grade or two. And so I'm recommending that we leave them there because it will not affect us one way or the other.
So that's the coastal A zone on, you said 2025-1, section 1, is that what we're talking about?
Sorry, it's page 27.
Page 27, here you go.
I'm on that.
It's we're on page section 2025-H.
Yep, 2025, you said 8?
H.
H, sorry.
Section H.
Okay.
Section H.
Page 27, section H.
On page 27, I have 1, 2, A, B, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah. Right there. So it should be at the very top of that page.
Oh, was it the page before me? Okay, I must be dim. I don't see an H, but it's the whole section, right? What you're talking about, section 20-25? Yeah, I'll show you what we're looking at. Because I think Craig's looking at the same thing.
Yes, I am. I don't see an H. That's why it was...
Section H.
Oh, that's cut off on our... Yes, it says...
You're looking at the right
section.
Section
20-25. No H.
I don't know where that came from.
I don't know. Okay.
Okay.
It's the whole section, Craig. Yes.
Okay.
It's the whole section. Right. That's why I said 2025 before. Okay. His says section H, not 2025.
Oh,
so it's
I got
this whole
it.
Section.
The whole section.
We got
Coastal A.
The important
I got it.
Part is it doesn't apply to any of our property owners, but keeping it in helps us on.
It the only grade. Applies to a small area or ETJ. Right. Part of the plan that we won't ever have anything to do with.
Yep.
So unless there's more questions, that's what I'm presenting, what I'm recommending, and.
Okay, we have a motion to find Nancy in here somewhere.
Can I read it?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, it's on your agenda. There's several things. There's a consistency statement. There's some resolutions that you have to.
I make a motion for the adoption of the NF5P ordinance and resolutions. Resolution 18-5 for flood maps, resolution 18-6 for flood ordinance, and a consistency statement.
I'll second that.
That cover everything, Nancy?
Yep.
Yes. Was that?
That was all three of the things you have on the agenda.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Pass. Thank you, John. Good work.
Thank you. Glad that was ready.
Facility improvement project update.
All right. The project's coming along nicely. They are, the contractor is a tad bit behind his schedule. Still working within our contractual schedule of being finished within the 300 days. The roof on the fire station has roof sheeting at 100%, ice roofing, ice and water shield. Drying will start tomorrow. Fire station interior walls are 100%. Electric and plumbing is being worked on. And the town hall, they're getting it dried in and finishing up some things. And a lot of that roofing down the side of the new addition between there and fire department has been completed today. So it's coming along. I'm happy with it. They're not happy with where they are, but they're working hard to get.
Do they feel like they're a little behind schedule right now, or?
Well, on their schedule there, but okay. Within the scope of the contract, they're fine.
Right. Yeah, they're not reporting any, they're reporting zero delay days.
They're delay days right now.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's what I saw anyway. All right.
So do we coordinate with you if we, now that you can't see what's happening because the walls are all up, to get a tour, do we just work through you to do that?
No, you can show up on site, go into the main office, what used to be the, I guess the mayor's office is where there's construction office. Check in there with the superintendent. He'll get you a hard hat and vest and then take you around the site.
I assume we've told them not to let anyone do that. They're not going to recognize me. I'll call you.
If you go in and introduce yourself as the town council, he'll be more than glad to give
okay.
you a
call. Feel free to give me a call if you have any more.
That's perfect.
I'll help you
right. One of you guys, that's fine. Yeah. Because I don't want to just show up and then, one, other people see me just show up and think they can.
8 o'clock any Tuesday morning.
Okay.
We have a meeting there.
Okay.
Every Tuesday morning.
So. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Did you want to mention the job progress meeting?
Well, we do have a job progress meeting with Oakley Collier
next Tuesday. Yeah, next Tuesday.
It's been moved from Thursday this week to Tuesday. That'll be at 10 o'clock if any of y'all want to attend that.
Okay. Thank you.
We're at a good point in the project right now. You may want to try to come if you're.
Yeah, that's what. Well, you just can't see anymore, right?
That's right.
I've been looking at it, but can't see anymore.
Okay. Very good, Alan. Thank you. Status of requirements for the outside patio for the business located at 108 K Avenue. I don't think we have the owners here.
They left. I think just because of the time frame, but I did speak with them and they stated they would have the lights we asked for and the fence done by the July 4th weekend.
What was the original schedule?
We never set a time, so we didn't tell them a date. We all, I think, assumed it would be Easter weekend because we did it the end of February. Easter weekend was the 1st of April. And so.
I for one, really love to know what y'all want to have happen there and give me a little bit of direction so that.
We agree that they needed better lighting for that side door.
Can we find better lighting?
Right. Something that hangs up that is stays on consistent, they can turn on or off. They put up one of those little lights you can stick anywhere that you tap and turn on. It's a small, maybe 5 inches in the diameter, if it's a circle.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
The building code, we can give him way better definition if we want to. Do you have a recommendation?
Lights along the edge of the roof.
Like 200 watts power or something? Or?
No.
Are you left with floodlights or candles or what?
No, I'm with you. So from the building code for a commercial outdoor area, isn't there a light requirement of 3-foot candles or something like that? I don't know what it is. So that's what we want, we think. They're operating as a business. They, in my opinion, they're having people out there that are drinking beer, and therefore the lighting should be whatever the building code requires for that type of environment. And I think it's defined. And we should communicate that to them, and we should also communicate that council says if it's not done before July 4th weekend, it's going to get taken away because that was the understanding.
We'll shut that outside down.
Can I get an understanding of what kind of barriers you're asking for?
A hardened fence, not the rope.
What is the definition of a hardened fence?
Slats.
4 foot high.
4 foot high? Can you weigh in, Mike? You're the one that wanted the hardened vents.
No, it's just to keep people in. Or
he wants to.
It can go over 100, but it's going to hopefully keep people from just walking up and like handing them a beer.
And a swinging gate on it. I don't want it latched because you don't want it, that back door latched if something happened inside.
No. So I think, again, we're establishing an outdoor area for a commercial building. What does the building code say if they put a fence up? Is there nothing? I mean,
the building code addresses that. ABC permit dictates it being a sectioned off area.
But they don't say anything more about it? So, like, if they lean against it and fall down, we're not responsible because we let someone put a rickety fence up? I mean, that's my. I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but we have a commercial entity doing something. There's all kinds of regulations I thought around that. I don't know what they are. Maybe there aren't any in this case because we're winging it. But
it's all ground level. It's kind of a different animal.
So that's the issue. You can't fall. You fall on the ground. Okay. So then I don't know if this fence. You just want to be able to separate if they're in or out, right?
We've had several instances where they come out of the back door, they go urinate in between the cars, and they go back inside.
Nice, there you go. Right.
So that's for the lighting. Yeah.
You put them up on the camera in there.
That's frowned upon.
The hard
see them out.
Do what? And then it wasn't you.
Good.
So the hard barrier, the lighting, so we can see, and then hopefully they would have it staffed so that hopefully nobody does go out in between the cars and urinate, and they're not passing beer over the fence.
Right.
And somebody else can't get by a 12-pack from the store and walk over and just sit on the table and start drinking.
Right.
So
okay.
That was my concern.
It should be a hard barrier. Should be 4 feet high, which is what we expect to have on backyards.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And it should be such a width that people cannot get through it. So I don't know if it has to be solid, but there better not be enough space between those boards where people can come in and out. Based on what the chief is saying. Okay.
I agree with that.
I thought we passed an ordinance that allowed fences up to 6 feet.
Yeah, well.
Well, this is in general the property. It could be 6 feet tall.
It could be six, but minimal 4 feet.
We're trying to be nice and not cost prohibitive, but they've messed around enough, so I think they bought themselves some stuff. If they had fixed the lights, they might not have bought more, but I think they did.
So they need to take action.
That's my view of council.
They had time. They should have already
done it. Yeah, they've had 4 months. It's time for them to do this. What's that?
Any sign of requirement?
Not unless the building code requires it.
And what are the two directions if they do not complete these things by July 4th?
We will be shutting down that outside area.
We're going to take away the approval that council gave at the July 17th meeting.
Okay. So you're going to be changing the ordinance back?
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
I think if that's what it takes.
If
that's what it takes, this ordinance stands for people who do what we're asking them to do.
We fast track this.
If they don't do what we ask them to do, they are not complying with the ordinance. Therefore, they don't get the right to do it.
Yeah, they're the only people. You're doing exactly what you should, right? You're requiring us to give you the information you need to do what we want.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly, you're doing the right thing, John. That's exactly how you should do it.
Anything else, John? Is that it?
Anything else, Council?
No.
John's ready to leave.
Okay. Many people are.
Yes.
Outdoor lighting for building code, 4 foot high solid or picketed fence of width that people can't get through, no signage requirement by July 4th where Council will revoke approval.
Yes.
Okay.
Until such time as they finish.
Or forever, maybe.
Well, if we're going to have the ordinance, we're going to have to give them, once they get there, they can do it.
Cool. Let's go.
Okay. You all set, Nancy?
I'm set.
Okay, John, you got what you need. Discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Bassett.
Thank you.
Everyone else is having a great time, too.
Discussion and consideration of new business. Possible state legislation on firefighter special separation allowance. We have a recommendation. There is a firefighter special allowance which allows from the period of time that they would retire legally from the firefighting department until such time as they can take Social Security, there is, for lack of a better term, in my view, a gap payments. The legislature at this point in time has a bill that would put those gap payments on the towns without a source of revenue to actually support that. The recommendation, I think it's from the League, is that we send a letter to them send a letter to our state legislature asking them to identify a revenue source for this particular activity, or really to not do it. Even though our firefighters are critical and important, there is a incredible list of things here that they say would be impacted. Currently, police officers have that, and it seems to have an impact, since it's the last place you work, it seems to have an impact on the ability for people to change jobs towards the end of their career. Because nobody, if you're going to take on that financial obligation, would essentially pick up that requirement for just a few years of support. There's a lot of detail in here. I did a poor job on that. I'd ask you to look at it. And if you have any comments, let's bring them up. Or should we support the league in their request?
I think we should.
The city of Wilmington is asking you to look.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm a fireman, a volunteer one, so I'll never get a pension that the way this is talking about. But I do agree that it puts a huge burden on small towns for basically, because a fireman, if they start out like some of our younger guys, they're 20 and they do their 25 years with the league, is that right? Before they retire? Does government employ 30 years? So they're 50. So we would pay until
10
and
years.
Then their Social Security kicks up higher, so 67, right? So 17 years.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Right, potentially, yes.
62? Okay. But when they retire, still 62? So it pays till early. Okay. So if you take the reduced, what if they don't take it? Do you still pay or you stop paying? It's still 12 years. It's the same issue. So I'm in favor of supporting the league on this one.
And just to let you know, the liability we have to carry just for the police is over $250,000.
Right. So we have about the same number of firemen, so that would be another $250,000 potentially for the same liability.
Plus every year we have to pay for an actuarial study.
That's right.
Right.
So I mean, for $250,000, I mean, I love firemen and I am one, but I don't think it's the right thing for us to do. We should support this initiative with the league, whether it's write a letter or however they need support. I don't know. I was unclear to me how we support it, Nancy. That's what I didn't understand.
Well, Wilmington was asking if all the towns in New Hanover County wanted to go together and present something, a resolution or something. And then the league is also saying just contact your legislators. Right now it's in the Rules Committee. They don't even know that it's going to come.
Did they send a proposed resolution or anything? I mean,
Wilmington was going to coordinate that.
Yeah, we should get a resolution together. And I don't know if that would be Andy or if that would be you, Nancy, to talk to Wilmington and make sure that we're consistent with what they're saying. And then we can read it and take an action. I will tell you this, Rules Committee is a place where bills go to generally go away.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's graveyard.
Yeah. So,
I still think we should take a position. Because the next unfounded, I think the issue for me is the legislature shouldn't just make up things and then make small towns pay for them, or towns in general, right? If it's that valuable, legislature, then you should figure out a funding path.
That's correct. Okay. It would solely be paid by the last hiring town, and that's definitely going to put a problem on people in late career.
The consensus is to work with Wilmington on
the
joint resolution.
Only two of us have talked. Well, we need at least a couple more people, right?
You okay?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have consensus. You, John?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Adoption or proclamation for Proclamation 1802, Marcy's Law. Is everybody familiar with Marcy's Law? Does it require a lot of discussion?
No.
Okay, we have a resolution that, do I have a motion to approve the resolution? Do we have to read it, Nancy?
I make a motion to approve the proclamation as presented.
Okay, proclamation, thank you.
And I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, unanimous. All right. Reinstate longevity benefit for the full-time employees effective July 1st, 2018 with no retroactive payments. Funding's in the budget, but requires a motion. I believe we all agreed on this.
Yeah, I make a motion to reinstate longevity benefit for all full-time employees effective July 1st, 2018 with no retroactive payments.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. The mayor has no updates.
This commissioner has none.
Okay.
Neither does this one.
I have July 30th, which is a Monday at 5 or 5:30 in Carolina Beach. I do not know the location yet. It will be the first public meeting of what is being considered with the Mosu land use plan. So I think we should all, or everyone that can should be able to, mm-hmm. should attend.
Is that in the, you don't know what time?
It's going to be in the evening. It's 5 or 5:30.
Okay.
So you said I don't know when you have
it. Yeah, as soon as I get the invitation, I'll forward to everybody.
Okay.
They're going to have
a meeting for Monday?
No, no. He was saying that he was just telling us there is a meeting on the 30th. Yeah, different Monday. He was asking if it was next Monday.
No, it's July 30th.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. We're all good.
Joint land use plan with Sunny Point. Okay.
Make a motion we go in closed session for personnel discussion.
Sir.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we are now entering closed session.
Thank you guys for sticking around to the very, very end.
Yes, for hanging on.
You too, sir.
How much will each citizen have to pay? That wasn't really
talked about. The cans went up.
Okay. Y'all were done by 8 every time.
May I have a motion to return to open session?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We have just closed the closed session, whereby we talked about personnel opportunities within Public Works and within the new Department of Parks and Recreation. And we have a new Parks and Recreation Department head, Nikki, at a salary of... what was it? 61-1? 61-1 or 61? 61-1.
61-1.
Okay. So, Nikki has accepted that position, but we need a motion to close.
To promote Nikki to the recreation director at a salary of $61,100.
Second.
And to make recreation a separate department.
And to reorganize and make recreation its own department.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Did you say effective July 1st?
Effective July 1st.
Yep. Effective July 1st.
Thank you.
We're getting punchy. Okay.
Make a motion to continue this meeting until Monday.
You already did. Didn't you already come?
Okay, then make a motion to recess. Continue. Well, we got to do that at the end, right?
No, you've already continued it.
Yeah, but we still got to say it at the end so we can go away. Don't we?
Yeah. What are we doing?
Make a motion to continue the meeting to 5 p.m. Monday, next Monday, to continue discussions on the ordinance and the Public Works Department.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
I'll be calling in.
That's what I'm saying.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
So do we not recess? Recess, we're done now.
I thought you
just continue. Okay.
I'm sorry.
I did that, we do it, but I didn't.
I'm tired looking at you.
But we recessed to go over there and
party. Yeah. We need to get this old green water. I'm sure she's right. Thank you, man.